Well, good morning, New Life. Are you guys glad to be in the house of God? Who are we studying about today? Jesus. Who do we want to be like? It's kind of weak. Who do we want to serve like? Who do we want to love like? Jesus. Well, we're in a series called Under Construction. Life Under Construction. And my message today is called Life Under Construction. Life Under Construction. Let me start by reading some scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. If you guys are ready for it, say amen. Amen. So Jeremiah says this: the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. That's an interesting scripture. Sometimes God cannot speak to us where we're at. Sometimes the place that we are at is so known to us, it's so familiar to us, that God has to say, rise up and go to this place so I can speak to you. God says to Abraham, I cannot bless you in the place where you were born, in your father's house. He says, arise and I will take you out of the place, and then I will bless you and make you a great nation. If we look at the Bible and biblical heroes, we see that God moves them from the place they grew up in the place they knew, to a new place where he can do something in their life. We look at David. God takes him from his family and takes him out, and he's being chased. He's running away from his own people. Joseph, a man of God, you can almost say this man almost had no sin in the Bible. We know he did, but it just, the Bible doesn't record any sins that he committed. We know he was a sinner because everybody is a sinner. But what did God have to do? In order to use him mightily and bless him, God had to take him out from a certain place and bring him to a new place where he can train him, mold him, and bless him. So God says to Jeremiah, get out of this place wherever you're at. And I don't know where Jeremiah was. He was a prophet. So where do prophets hang out? In nonprofit organization somewhere, right? So he's hanging out in some nonprofit organization and maybe a church, maybe a temple. And God says, get out. Get out and go to a potter's house. It's like saying, go to a tattoo place or something, you know? Whoa, God, no, hold on. You know, go into the artist type of a place. You know what I mean? Where artists hang out. God, but those guys are hippies, man. You know, they're just all free spirit and paint, bro. God says, no. Get out of that nonprofit organization and go into a potter's house. No, not pot house, okay? Because some of you like to go to Denver for a little retreat. No, not in this church. So not to a pot house, but a potter's house. That's where they make pottery. Okay. Then they bake it, yes. All right. Anyway, you guys get excited if I start talking about drugs use or alcohol. We have people who... Anyway, so go into the potter's house, and I will cause you to hear my words there. My words there. I imagine Jeremiah was praying, saying, God, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. God says, get out. Get out of your normal thing. Do something different, and I will speak to you. Sometimes we get into this routine of life. It's the same old, boring things. God says, get out. Do something different. Then I went down to a potter's house. And there he was, a potter guy or a girl, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of a potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Now, this is symbolic. This is talking about pottery, but it also applies to our life. Sometimes when God is making something, and I think it's not because he's imperfect and cannot finish what he starts. I think we, being the clay, we like to wiggle and to the point where we break ourselves. Okay? Have you ever messed up so much that you're like, God, I'm broken. God, you need to start over with me. Ushers, if you can help people so nobody's standing, please, in the back. Come on, get moving. We got room here. We got room. Praise God. Come on, clap your hands. We still got a few chairs. And so the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. My translation says, it was ruined. Ruined in the hands of a potter. So he made it again into another vessel. And I think God does that. God loves to do that. He takes something, he works with it. And sometimes we get off the potter's wheel, as Pastor Andre preached last week, and he takes it again. And because what God does with our life is better than we can ever do with our own life. What God does with our life, see, that's why you can trust God. Listen, you can trust God with your finances because he'll do a better job with it than you can. Some of you know that about 7 years ago, we made such a mess of our finances because we decided we were going to do it our way. Everything was on loan and not from God. It was from the world, right? We were broke. We couldn't pay the bills. And winter comes, and I used to work in a seasonal job, and winter would come, and we had no money to pay the bills. And every year, we swore, it will never happen to us again. And the summer would come, and we're like, oh, God, we're getting blessed again. Oh, do it your way? Yeah, sure, maybe. We want this thing, and this thing, and this thing, and this thing, to the point where we were just broke. We had money being taken out of our account without our permission, if you know what I mean. IRS. Who is that? It's the tax man, right? One day I look into my account, it was already low, and then it was like a negative. I'm like, what happened? IRS. So I called the IRS. I mean, I'm a pastor, but I'm ready to cuss, right? God is better with our money than we are. God is better with our relationships than we are. God is better with everything. And I want to tell you guys that if you commit your life to God completely, not just halfway, yeah, someday I'll do this God thing for an hour, and if it goes hour 15 minutes, I'm out of here, right? No, if you really commit to God, your life will be better. You'll get where you want to be and more. Because God says this, for he who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask, or think according to the power that works within you. If that power works in me, if you allow God to work in you, things will be different. See, the world says you do it my way, and you do it its way, and it has instant gratification. Wouldn't you agree? When you get drunk, isn't it instant? When you go out party, isn't it instant? But then you end up paying for it for the rest of your life sometimes. God says, my job is not instant. It's like in that video. I'm going to chisel you. I'm going to take time with you. But the results you get is way better than what the world can offer. You can trust God. I am an example, and I'm not saying this out of arrogance or pride, that you can trust God. You can trust God. Eventually, you'll get haters because you trust God. Anyway, so then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Up to this point. We're talking today about life under construction. That's my topic. Have you ever built anything? Anybody? A house, a dog house, a fence, a deck, chicken coop, yeah? What's the weirdest thing you ever built? Chicken coop, okay. You win, Joel. We got some builders in here. Today with us, we have missionaries, okay? John Bull and Stacy, they're from Ghana, and they're building a humongous city of refuge. 2 years ago, we were apart. We gave to that. They're in the back there. Can you guys wave your hand, John? Stand up, guys. Stand up. I'm going to have John Bull come after I'm done. And he's going to tell you what he's doing. I mean, hundreds of kids rescued from all kinds of slavery, child slavery. And he, if you should like him on Facebook and see all the pictures. I mean, he really built the city. You know, he used to be in this church. Yeah, he used to be a part. Me and him used to pray together for hours. And look how God is using him in Ghana. I mean, out of nowhere, God just blew him up. I mean, he's doing crazy things for God. He'll come and tell you the last 5 minutes, okay? Hopefully, I'm get done with this thing. He will come. John, you're coming. And Stacy, you too. So if you ever build anything, you know that building is not easy. About 11 years ago, Tanya was pregnant, and we decided to build a house. And it was in about October when we finally said, let's build a house. And if you know anything about October, it's a rainy It starts to be a rainy season. It was all great. We bought this lot, and we had an excavator come, and he dug up a hole. And next night, when he dug up a hole, it rained. And it wasn't just raining, it poured. It poured so bad that half of our dugout basement, you call it, was filled with water. And so here it is. We got to build this house because winter is coming. And pretty soon, you know, you won't be able to pour foundation. Everything becomes more expensive and harder, in the winter. So I called my brother-in-law, and he's the construction guy. And so we decided, okay, we're going to build it ourselves. It's a lot of work, people. It's a lot of work. We have some construction people in here, right? It's a lot of work. Sometimes my faith is bigger than my abilities. You know, I'm like, I can do this. Yeah. My wife is like, are you sure? Yeah. It's like that project over there in the lobby. Yeah, it's going to be easy. We'll do it in one day, and then everything's going to be done. It's like, And so the basement was filled with water. And next day, they bring a big pump, you know, gasoline pump. They throw a big hose in the thing. They pump the water out, and it doesn't stop raining. And it rains for a week, okay? It rains for a week. And we're like, God, what is going on? Please stop this rain so they can pour the foundation. At least we can build in the rain. We can frame in the rain, but not, you know. But it was a mess. And all I remember about building our house, and we have a pretty nice house. God blessed us with a nice house. And now it's nice. But all I remember about construction was stress and mud and dirt and piles of dirt and piles of junk. Well, we did some stupid you know, I'm cheap, so I'm trying to save money on everything. So I'm like, okay, we're not going to get a dumpster. You know how you get the dumpster, big dumpster? So we're like, I tell my construction excavator guy, I'm like, just dig me a hole, you know, in the ground. And we'll just burn it. I don't know. We're in a country, you know, who cares? It's legal. I'm not doing nothing illegal, people. Come on. And so he dug me a hole. We filled it with junk. I mean, it was, you know how when you build, there's 2x4s, there's siding, there's nails everywhere. I mean, it's a mess. If you know anything about construction, it's a mess. There's a lot of dust. So we dug up this hole, and I'm young, probably what, 24 years old at that time. I take a big jug of gasoline, you know, just to help it burn faster. Jane is like, what do you do? And so I didn't know this, the explosion part of the gasoline thing. Kind of did, but I didn't. So what we do is we take that 2-gallon sucker and we just pour it all over the big hole. And so I just walk away like 2 feet or so, and we light it up. Or somebody did. I don't know. One of us did. And it goes bang, and all this stuff in the hole. And this hole was about this deep. Goes flying out, guys. Honest truth. That's the kind of construction guy I am. I saved money, though. Although we were picking up stuff for a long time. Some of you done that, too. anyway, what I remember about building, guys, is that it's messy. It's messy. It was mud everywhere. And then before we put a roof on, I remember rain just raining the whole, like, our where the floor is, you know, just water everywhere. Anyway, the reason I'm talking about this, because have you ever felt like your life was a big mess? Or maybe you can say, I am a big mess. I know I feel sometimes like that. Lord, why is my life such a mess? Some of us feel that on a regular basis. If you feel like that, I got some good news for you guys. Your life is under construction. If you ever felt like you love God, you're doing everything right, but you're still experiencing mess in your life, look to your neighbor and say, I'm under construction. I'm under construction. And listen, before you pronounce a judgment on somebody you see, just remember, people are under construction. I don't know if you want to admit it or not, if you want it or not. The truth is, our life is under construction. Your life right now is under construction. God is doing something in your life. You know, children, they're not born. Well, they are perfect when they're born, you know. But then we know they have a sinful nature, like all of us do. And if you let a child just grow up without constructing them a little, parents, we are the builders of our children. Wouldn't you agree? If you invest in your children, you and then you can see what parents did. education and things like that. Well, let me talk about pets. Let's talk about dogs. Your dog has to be under construction to be a good dog or a cat. Well, cats, you can't really construct. They do whatever they want. That's why they don't go to heaven. Just kidding. They're just disobedient, you know? When we first got married, Tanya and I, we decided to buy a dog, you know? You know how every couple, the picture, the TV shows you, you have to have a dog. So we go buy the biggest one we can. We buy a big German Shepherd, right? Well, it's a puppy still. It's a puppy, and we buy him, and I'm running a business, and I'm in ministry full-time, both full-times. I have no time to train the dog, but the dog is growing, and he's growing so big, my wife doesn't want to go and feed him anymore. She's like, I'm scared of him. Some of you have a German Shepherd, and that German Shepherd is obedient to you, and the reason it's obedient to you, because you constructed that animal, right, Kevin, Allah, right? You worked on that animal. You had to take him to training school. Like, my brother is good at that. When he got a dog, the first thing he did, he took him to training school. Because, you know, the dog will be disobedient. And so eventually, our dog became so unruly, so disobedient. If you let him go, he loves children. He would run to the children and jump on these children, knocking them down in the neighborhood. And our neighbors were getting mad. Remember that? And so eventually we had to say, hey, we cannot take care of this dog. It's too big. We had him about 9 months, maybe to a year. And eventually I had a friend, and he loved German Shepherds. And he's like, what do you want for this dog? I'm like, just take him, man. Just please do something with him. He took him, and that dog lived for like over 10 years in his place. And he loved that dog. He trained him. He spent time with him. But your dog, your animal, your child will be unruly if you don't put it in the construction process. Same with the adults. When God wants to do something in your life, He will put you under construction. He will begin to build you, mold you, shape you. That's what Jesus did to His disciples. He put them under construction. If you're a believer, God Himself becomes your builder. How cool is that? Oh no, I don't want God to build me. And listen to this. I want to read you some scripture. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Meaning that God puts certain desires in you. Did you know that? God puts desires in us. So does the devil, though. And whose desires we feed or react to, respond to. We can respond to God's desires, and that will give Him good pleasure, and it will bring us much joy. Or we can respond to illicit desires. And we know that when we respond to illicit desires, they become destructive in our lives. And they bring us a lot of pain. If we're honest to admit today, a lot of pain that we experience in our life is because we followed our illicit, illegal desires that we had. A lot of that pain is. And you know, we in our country, we love to blame everything on the devil, the government, the church, everybody else. But really, it's because of our own. We followed our own desire. We had two choices. Yesterday, I observed my kids. observed Alex and Abby. Abby had turned 10 years old in January. And we had this deal. When you turn 10 years old, you can mow the lawn. Okay? And so, and we have a riding mower. And so, you can mow the lawn. So, she... I explained everything. I taught her the emergency procedures. You know, you have to tell them everything. That's a dangerous thing. And so she started mowing, but then she forgot something. I think she wanted to have headphones. Yeah, so she can listen to something. So she parked the mower in front of our house, and she ran in to get those headphones. Well, Alex knew that it was her turn first because, you know, we're teaching her and things like that. Runs up, and I'm watching this from a distance. Runs up to the mower, and here he looks. He knows that it's her turn. He looks around again. He jumps on it. Then he looks again. See, there's decisions we have to make. And it's understandable when children make wrong decisions. Their brains are not developed yet. Amen. But it's when adults, we have that millisecond. And I'm, as an adult, I'm watching him. And I see him. I can almost read him. I know what he's thinking. I got two choices. Do it or not do it. I'm going to do it. So he jumps on that mower. He He gets a few feet away. She's running after him crying. And I'm seeing all this picture. So she runs to me crying, "Dad, Alex, this." And here we go again. So Dad has to go and solve this little problem. But God gives us desires. The world gives us desires. The devil gives us desires. And we have to choose. But see, when you have Christ in your life, Christ doesn't come empty, meaning he doesn't come just weak love, a thought. He comes as a power. It's called grace in your life. Apostle Paul says this. He said, "I've accomplished so much in my life. I did so much work." He said, "But actually it wasn't I. It was grace of God working mightily in me." So you have a power to say yes to godly desires. Godly desires bring pleasure. They do, just not immediate. The thing about God, that it's not immediate. Saving money sucks. It's not immediate gratification. But eventually, when you are driving a paid-up vehicle and somebody comes to you and says, "I can't pay my vehicle, Pastor." You're like, okay. It's the decisions that we have to make. And I understand. Listen, I'm not being harsh on people who've had a heartbreak, maybe. But if we don't choose godly desires, we're going to get results. Oh, I got to preach more grace here in this church. Yeah, amen. So if you're a believer, God himself will be your builder. And like in that video, it's not comfortable all the time. It's not. But the result is something you're going to like. It's something that you're going to want. I'm telling you, people ask me all the time, "Why? Why are you so blessed?" By the grace of God. This is what I tell them. By the grace of God, I chose the right desires. By the grace of God. I don't want to say I did it. No, by the grace of God, choosing the right desires. "But Pastor, you don't understand. I grew up differently." The Bible is active for everyone. I don't care if you grew up in Europe, Africa, China, Asia, Middle East, South America, North America. It doesn't matter. Bible works the same for everybody. The second verse that I want to read to prove to you that God is your builder is Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." So if you're a believer, God will be working in your life for the rest of your life till Jesus comes. So if Jesus comes today, well, then that's it. If he comes in 100 years, well, then that's it. If you're a non-believer, your life is still under construction as well. It's just you're being constructed by media, right? By certain philosophies. You're getting constructed by just the world and life itself. You will be constructed. But God, the difference between being constructed in the world and with God, God has a purpose for you. There's an ending. He knows exactly what he wants. Let me give you an example, guys. This is good. This is going to relate to our church. When we were remodeling, and we first had to tear down, deconstruct everything in the lobby, okay? There was so much dust. Like, over 40 people showed up to, like, tear stuff down, okay? Lots of people. My wife wasn't here when we were doing all that tear down. She came, like, on Tuesday, and it was still a huge mess. And the first words I asked her, I said, "What do you think? You know, what do you think?" Like a kid being proud of what we're doing. She's like, "You know what? I don't see it. It looks like chaos and mess. So what is this going to be?" Okay? She couldn't see what was happening. Another lady last Saturday talked to me. She's like, when she came, we finally had everything cleaned up last Saturday. Pastor Iva actually came. And she's like, "You know what? I was looking at those renditions on the wall. You know, those blueprints that you guys posted. And I'm like, I don't see it. And then she came on Saturday. She's like, I see it now. You know, so sometimes what God is doing in our life, we don't see. However, not everyone didn't see it. Van, the man, he saw every little detail of this place. He even said there was walls that I didn't know was there, right? And on the blueprint, there was walls that we didn't see till we knocked out some stuff on up here. He was right. So God is the same way. We don't see it, maybe, him working in our life, but he is doing something in our life. He's constructing. He's removing some things. He's building some things up. remodeling or building is a messy job. It's a messy job. As Christians, if we don't understand that God is working in our life, we can get discouraged. Sometimes you have a fallout. Maybe let's say you are struggling. There's different areas people struggle with. There's physical area. There's a soul level. There's a spiritual level. There's heart level. So maybe some of you are struggling. You know, you made a decision. I'm going to quit smoking. That's it, right? And you had a failure, okay? And so what you do is you start beating up yourself. See, if you don't understand that your life is under construction and God knows that you were going to fail, you don't always get things right the first time. You give up. You give up and you say, I won't try again. But if you know that God is still working on me, then it gives you courage and strength to say, I can do this again. I can try this again. See, you can do two things. You can come up with a theology to defend your sin, or you can say, my life is under construction and God is still working on me. Okay, too deep? No? Okay, good. Because some people say this, it's a disorder, Pastor Alex. I can't do this. I can't fight this. I was born with this. It's in my genes. It's in your genes. My dad did that. My mom did that. And so we come up with excuses, meaning we create theology to defend our sin. Instead of saying, yes, we're all born into sin. I was born into sin. You were born into sin. And we're under construction. And God is doing some things. And if we got something that doesn't fit the word of God, well, then we need to change to that. And whatever it takes, doesn't matter how long it takes, I'm going to fight this sin. I'm going to fight it. That's my theology. Whoo! In the construction, you have to have a strong foundation. And I'm going to finish with this. And not a lot of time left, so I'm going to go right into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Paul is talking about building a church. He's building a church where there was no church. There was not even one Christian there. He goes to Corinth and he builds a church. He says, I laid the foundation. And others builders build on it. So Paul would start a church, lay a foundation, and then he would leave. So Paul was a specialist. He was not a whole house builder. He was a foundation guy. So Paul was that. He would come in. You know how we build houses. Foundation guys come in. Then the framers come in. Then the plumbers come in. You know, different types. So Paul was specialty. He was an evangelist. So he would go into areas where there was no churches. And he would start a church, build a foundation, and then would leave. And other people would come. So this is the context. But this is what he says. But let each one take heed how he builds on that foundation. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So foundation. Let's talk about foundation. With any new construction, you always want to ensure that your foundation on which you're building your house is strong. Second, God will work on your foundation. Usually we want to skip the part about foundation. But no foundation in a house, you will end up building your house on the sand. And then watch this. Jesus said, the wind comes, the rain comes, the storm comes, and the house that's built on the sand will fall. And great will be its destruction. Some of us, we've built our houses on the sand. And when trouble came, when tough times came, everything fell apart. Everything fell apart. That's why today I'm encouraging you to build your foundation on Jesus Christ. Not just a little bit on Jesus and a little bit in the world. No, no, no. Because it would be like half of your house on the rock and half of your house on the sand. Still will fall. Every time the rain comes, you're like, I hope it doesn't fall today. It will fall if it's on the wrong foundation. Small foundation will be a small house. Good foundation will be a good house. Amen. Your house will be proportionate to the foundation it's standing on. So what does foundation represents? And I'm done. Foundation represents your beliefs. What do you believe? I meet people who say I'm a Christian, but their beliefs are so messed up. It's so not Bible. It's mixed with Western religion, Eastern religion. It's with Buddhism, a little bit of Muslim there, a little bit of Native American there. And you know, it's all mixed up. It's like, it's a mess. What is your foundation on? some foundation is based on paganism, superstitions, you know. If you see a black cat running, you know, make sure you turn around and go the other way, or I don't know, stick a needle somewhere, or I don't know what your foundation is. Sometimes the world likes to mix our theology. Okay. I'm offending everybody today. Offending everybody. And what is your foundation? What is your belief system built on? If it's not on the Word of God, it's built on the sand. The only rock we have, people, is the Word of God. Amen. Amen. You can clap your hands. If it's not biblical, it's not going to withstand. Because this thing has withstood years, thousands of years, and it's still standing and blessing person who believes in it today. Your foundation is your beliefs. I know when we were in the world, we had all kinds of beliefs. We come into the church and we say, well, I want my beliefs to be adapted in your church. Well, not necessarily, because we're trying to adapt our beliefs to the Word of God. So if I preach something, Paul says, if an angel of God comes and preaches something different other than this gospel, let him be cursed. Cursed. Kidding. Okay. How did that start? I don't know. Your foundation. If you're a young believer today, I'm calling you out today and I'm saying, start building your foundation on the Word of God. Begin to get deeper into the Word of God. You need more of the Word of God. Learn some, ask me for podcasts. Read some Bible. Listen to some theology. Learn, get better. You need a strong foundation. We live in a time where Christianity is persecuted. It's a new Holocaust. Have you seen those videos on Facebook? Heads being cut off of Christians. And they're standing for their beliefs. Someday you and I will have to stand for our beliefs. In former Russia, people went to prison for not denying Christ. In the day of Paul, they were throwing them in the arenas and fighting lions and bulls. They would get gored by bulls and things like that. We are living in that time like that. If you don't agree with the world philosophy, you could lose your job. Foundation. Are you building it on a rock? Your house will stand if it's on a rock. It will not if it's on the sand. Number two, your foundation is understanding and knowing who you are in God. Who are you? Who are you in God? Your foundation are your values, things you stand for, things you will not compromise. What is your foundation? And I know that when we first start in this Christian walk with God, we're not there yet. All we were fed with was milk. God loves you. That's milk. Yeah. God loves you. God has a plan for you. He wants to bless you. That's milk. That's good. But eventually, you have to grow up, because life is for grown-ups. Number three, your foundation is your purpose. What is your purpose in life? I'm still discovering it. How long are you going to be discovering it? I think this. God already put you in your purpose. You're just denying it. You're just not walking it out. See, there's a difference between preparation and training. I heard that phrase somewhere. Preparation, I'm waiting, getting better, but I'm not doing anything. Training is I'm doing it on a job. See, a lot of times your Christian life will be trained on a job training. You don't sit around waiting, I'm just praying and seeing what God will do. No, get your lazy butt off the couch. Go help the remodeling project in the church. Maybe you'll meet somebody there and you can minister to them, and that will take you to a path that God wants you to go. You see what I'm saying? We all like preparation. I'm preparing. I'm studying more. More of Joseph Prince. More of Joyce Myers. But you never do anything. God says, hey, your purpose is now. It's not tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. I don't have tomorrow. Anyway, I am lecturing or whipping you or something. But anyway, you guys got something out of this message today. I want you to close your eyes right now and bow your head. Life with God is so much better. God is a builder of your life, but He is a senior builder. You are also in partnership with Him. If you don't know God, well, then you're not living this life that He has for you. And He has a plan, Bible says, for you. As a sea, sand, that's how big it is. That's how great it is. God has a plan for your life. And it starts with the first step. And the first step, you saying, God, I need you in my life. I want to let you in. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me. Make me a part of your family. That's how it starts. It's that easy. If you have never accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do it today. I'm going to count to three, and in a count of three, raise your hand and raise it high. If you have given your life to Christ, but you backslidden, you walked away, and today, by some miracle, you're in this church, and you say, God, I want to give you another shot. Well, God says, no, 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 I had a plan for you. You're in exactly the same place I wanted you to be. I'm going to count to three, and in a count of three, if you would like to start your relationship with God or restart your relationship with God, raise your hand and raise it high. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you do something. All you have to do is raise up your hand. One, two, three. Please raise your hand. One hand, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven. Come on. Clap your hands and bless God. Would you pray with me? Say, Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. From this moment on, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Work in my life. Build me into a person you want me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. From this day on, I declare that I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and bless God, church. Celebrate! Amen, amen, amen.